Good evening. This is Archdeacon Steve West, the parish priest of St. Barnabas Parish in the Anglican Church and the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. I welcome you to reflection on this second Sunday of Easter, Year B. Our readings today, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verses 32 to 35. Psalm 133, 1 John chapter 1, from verse 1 to chapter 2, verse 2, and the Gospel of John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. Let us pray. The Lord is here, and we will praise Him. The Lord is here, and we will worship Him. The Lord is here, and we will trust Him. The Lord is here, and we will honor Him. The Lord is here, and He has called us to give Him all the glory. Amen. Come and worship the living God and the Savior of the world. Come and worship the one who died and was raised again. Come and worship the Spirit who renews and empowers us to be God's people, and to offer Him our thanks, our praise, and our worship. Amen. Lord, the disciples hid behind locked doors because they were afraid. They had seen You die and couldn't believe that You are alive. They heard the story of the empty tomb, but they hadn't experienced its life-changing power. So come to us as we gather, hidden away from the world, perhaps feeling trapped in our doubts and fears, and set us free. Give us new life as we experience Your living presence in our midst. We pray that, touched by Your resurrection power, our worship might declare that You are our Lord and our God. In Jesus' name, Amen. We have the hymn, Grant Me, O Lord.
Take Your will for
We pray the collect for the second Sunday of Easter, followed by the Easter anthem, the canticle, Christ or Passover, and then our parish prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who in the Paschal mystery established the new covenant of reconciliation, grant that all who have been reborn into the fellowship of Christ's body may show forth in their lives what they profess by their faith. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. So let us celebrate the feast, not with their own leaven of corruption and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Christ, once raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. In dying, he died to sin once for all. In living, he lives to God. See yourselves, therefore, as dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who sleep. For as by man came death, by man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Our parish prayer. Gracious God, you sent your only Son, Jesus, to be for us an example of godly living. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to treasure your creation, that we may be his faithful disciples in our time and place, making disciples of all nations, sharing his words with all who need to hear them, and helping our brothers and sisters to experience life in all its fullness. All to your honor and glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reflection today is entitled, Living Our Faith. Living Our Faith. Belief is not a matter of the head, but of the heart. We may come to faith in a variety of ways, but our response must be from the heart. We must live what we believe. Our reading from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, gives us a concrete example of the followers of Jesus living their faith. Jesus told his disciples, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." John chapter 15, verse 12. In our reading today from the Acts of the Apostles, this love is expressed in a very practical way. Luke writes, "Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. As the apostles gave their first-hand testimony of the resurrection, more and more people came to faith in Jesus. And the people responded to this faith by loving action. Luke records, there was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Acts chapter 4, verse 34 and 35. Luke goes on to give the example of a Levite, a native of Cyprus, Joseph, to whom the apostles gave the name Barnabas. He sold a field that belonged to him, then bought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Acts chapter 4, verses 36 and 37. Barnabas and others expressed their faith in action, loving action that was a response to the needs of God's people at that time. They were expressing their faith. In fact, they lived their faith. Our gospel today from John chapter 20 is used as the gospel for every year of our three-year lectionary cycle for the second Sunday of Easter. It speaks of the risen Christ's encounter with his disciples and Thomas's transformation from skeptic to believer. In fact, in some parts of the church, this Sunday is referred to as St. Thomas Sunday. The disciples of Jesus were hiding out for fear of the Jews on the day when the empty tomb was discovered by the woman. The doors were locked. However, Jesus appeared in the midst of them and greeted them with the words, "Peace be with you." John chapter 20, verse 21. Jesus shows them the evidence of his crucifixion, his hands and his side, which bore the nail marks and the hole from the spear. Jesus repeats his greeting as he breathes the Holy Spirit on them. He gives them authority to forgive or retain the sins of others. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. John chapter 20, verse 23. Thomas was not present when Jesus made this appearance. When he was told that the risen Christ had appeared, he responded, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the marks of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." Verse 25b. Thomas had to wait a week, for John tells us that a week later, the disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Verse 26. Jesus then directed his words to Thomas. "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." We are not told if Thomas did put his finger in the wounds, but he answered, "My Lord and my God." Verses 27 and 28. Thomas needed concrete evidence in order to believe. He did believe, for he acknowledged Jesus as his Lord and his God, and that faith would be reflected in his life. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19a, Jesus charged his disciples to make disciples of all nations. Before his ascension, Jesus charged them again to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Acts chapter 1, verse 8b. Thomas lived his faith in his Lord and his God. History records that Thomas was the only apostle who went outside of the Roman Empire. He traveled the furthest distances to proclaim the risen Christ. There are Christian countries in the Middle East to China, from Southeast Asia to Eastern Africa, all claiming to have been evangelized by Thomas. He was the great missionary to India, where he is considered to be the patron saint of Christians. History records that he was martyred in Mylapore in India. Thomas lived his faith in his Lord and his God. We are called to do the same. The question is, how do we come to believe? How do we come to faith in the risen Christ? Jesus said to Thomas, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." John chapter 20, verse 29. We have not seen. How then do we come to believe, to faith in the risen Christ, to enable us, like Thomas, to claim that he is my Lord and my God? The well-known Methodist theologian William Barclay, in his exploration of faith and belief, offered insights into how people come to believe. He cites five ways. 1. Intellectual engagement, studying the Bible and engaging in thoughtful reflection. 2. Community and tradition, being a part of a faith community and participating in rituals and learning from the wisdom of those who came before. 3. Openness and humility, having an open mind to new insights and a willingness to revise our understanding. 4. Personal experience and encounter. We grow in faith through recognizing encounters with the divine, moments of revelation and inner transformation. And 5, by God's grace. Barclay expresses the belief that belief is a gift of God's grace. Belief is not solely a result of human effort, but a divine initiative. God's presence and love draws us towards belief. Barclay concludes that each person's journey to belief is unique and shaped by these factors and more. However we come to faith in Jesus, Jesus proclaims that we are blessed. However, belief demands that we live out our faith. Actions speak louder than words. The hymn writer says, "They will know we are Christians by our love." In the parable of the Last Judgment, in Matthew chapter 25, the righteous are commended for their loving responses in the face of the needs of others. The king says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Matthew 25, verses 35 and 36. All responses because of faith in the risen Christ, having accepted him like Thomas as my Lord and my God. Jesus, James in his letter, reminds us that faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. James chapter 2, verse 17. It is not enough for us to say we believe in the risen Christ. That belief must be reflected in our lives, in our daily actions. Our colleague for today expresses it this way: grant that all who have been reborn into the fellowship of Christ's body may show forth in their lives what they profess by their faith. Book of Common Prayer, page 169. A prayer attributed to John Hunter of Scotland in the 19th century, which we sometimes use as a dismissal, expresses it like this: grant, O Lord, that what we have said and sung with our lips, we may believe in our hearts, and what we believe in our hearts, we may practice in our daily lives through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We are called, therefore, to live our faith. Amen. Let us pray. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. Lord Jesus, you announce peace to your disciples. Breathe into your church the Holy Spirit. Give faith from doubt and boldness to fainting hearts. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. Lord Jesus, you announce peace to the world. Breathe upon the nation's desire for harmony and concord. Strengthen the fearful and all who seek to reconcile places of conflict. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. Lord Jesus, you announce peace to our communities. Breathe upon our common life your generosity. In your grace, open our hearts to share in our riches and poverty. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. Lord Jesus, you announce peace to injured and battered peoples. Breathe upon all in special needs your healing presence. Anoint us all in your great goodness. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. Lord Jesus, you announce peace in the face of death. Breathe upon all who have died your life and forgiveness. Bring light to the darkness of death and rejoicing to the place of tears. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. And so, as our Savior Christ had commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us evermore. Amen. And we have the hymn, the African Credo, I Believe. Let us pray. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward save that of knowing we do your will. And in that service, O God, we pray that you will continue to make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us so love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Almighty God, who has redeemed us and made us his children through the resurrection of his Son, our Lord, bestow upon you the riches of his blessing. May God, who through the water of baptism has raised us from sin into newness of life, make you holy and worthy to be united with Christ forever. May God, who has brought us out of bondage to sin into true and lasting freedom in the Redeemer, bring you to your eternal inheritance. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen. We wish you a continued spiritually rewarding week. We pray that you will enjoy your holiday on Wednesday. and strive to be safe. Our closing hymn, My Redeemer.